These office people call you in for a meeting. The whole thing is about the sitting down. I would really like to sit down with you. I think we need to sit down and talk. Why don't you come in and we'll sit down? Because sometimes sitting down doesn't work. People get mad at the sitting. You know, we've been sitting here for I don't know how long. How much longer are we just going to sit here? I'll tell you what I think we should do. I think we should all sleep on it. Maybe we're not getting down low enough. Maybe if we all lie down, then our brains will work.
I can't eat this without ketchup. Would a killer to check up on us? Would that be a terrible thing? How's everything? Do you need anything? What can I do for you?
I know what you mean.
Do you?
It's like going out with someone and then you never hear from them again.
Same thing.
Not really, but it's something. Ask the people behind you.
Excuse me. Are you using your ketchup?
What do you think? You want to give him the ketchup?
It's up to you.
You know what? I don't think so. I'm going to need it from time to time.
So what are you doing, lady? You want to go to the movies?
Nah, what for?
To see a movie.
I've been to the movies.
Not this movie.
They're all the same. You go, you sit, you eat popcorn, you watch. I'm sick of it.
Did you have a shower today?
Yeah.
That's usually the kind of mood I'm in when I haven't showered.
When is it going to be my turn, Jerry? When do I get my 15 minutes? I want my 15 minutes.
Oh, quit complaining. At least you have your health.
Health's not good enough. I want more than health. Health's not doing it for me anymore. I'm sick of health.
All right, we're done. You can have it now.
Oh, very gracious. Dick.
Yeah.
What is that?
Here's Jethro!
Hey!
All right, thanks for the ride, Kramer.
No, thank you.
So what are you doing?
Nothing.
Come on, let's go to the beach.
Are you crazy?
No, it's a beautiful day.
Have a good time.
Yeah, there's something in the air today. Do you feel it? There's something in the air.
You know you're turning into Burt Lancaster?
Yeah, there's something in the air.
Oh, I forgot to call Jill. Jill, hi, it's Elaine. How is your father? Is everything okay? What? I can't hear you so good. There's a lot of static. What? I'm going to call you back.
Jill's father is in the hospital and you call to ask about him on a cell phone?
What, no good?
Faux pas.
Faux pas?
Big, hefty, stinking faux pas.
You can't make a health inquiry on a cell phone. It's like saying, I don't want to take up any of my important time in my home, so I'll just get it out of the way on the street.
And the street cell phone call is the lowest phone call you can make.
It's an act of total disregard. It's selfish.
It's dismissive.
It's pompous.
Why don't you think before you do something?
Here's the thought. Bye-bye.
Too much? Boy, I'm really surprised at Elaine. You know, that whole phone business? She should know better than that.
Hey, hey, hey!
What?
Where do you think this relationship is? If you aren't thinking of instituting an open-door urination policy, let me disabuse you of that notion right now, my friend.
You're so uptight.
Yeah, uptight. Let's all just have a big pee party. Hey, everybody, grab a bucket. We're going up to Jerry's. It's a pee party.
Jerry, this is Elizabeth Clark calling from James Kimbrough's office at NBC. Could you please give us a call? Thanks.
Hello? Yeah. Hi, this is Jerry Seinfeld calling for James Kimbrough. Hello? Hi. Uh-huh. Really? No problem. Definitely. Okay. Bye-bye. That was James Kimbrough.
Who's he?
He is the new president of NBC. He wants to sit down with us and talk about Jerry.
Our show? Jerry?
Right.
Jerry? Oh, my God. He wants to talk about Jerry?
Yeah.
When?
Today, like right now.
Right now? Jerry!
Jerry!
He wants to talk about Jerry!
He wants to talk about Jerry!
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 Can I go like this?
Sure!
No sports jacket! I don't need a sports jacket! Writers wear sports jackets!
Forget the sports jacket!
I don't feel like a writer!
You're not a writer!
Right? Water. Need some water? Water here!
Okay, now listen. I don't want any scenes in here like the last time.
Don't worry, don't worry. No scenes.
Don't blow this.
I will not blow this.
If he says he doesn't want it to be a show about nothing, don't go nuts.
It's fine. It doesn't have to be about nothing.
He might not want nothing.
Something, nothing. I could care less.
He might want a show about anything and everything.
Anything, everything, something, nothing. Who the hell cares? Put me down. I'm down.
All right.
Mr. Kimbrough is ready to see you.
Magic time.
What?
Mr. Kimbrough.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey. Yeah.
How you been?
Good. Do you remember George?
George,
hey,
good to see
hello,
you.
Hello, Stu.
You remember Jay Crespi?
Jay Crespi. I'm going to forget Jay Crespi, huh?
This is James Kimbrough.
Nice to meet you. Pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Kimbrough.
Don't spell.
K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the talent I have.
Why don't we sit down? I'm glad you're here.
Woo! Someday out there, huh? Do you ever see weather like that? Woo! It's crisp! It's crispy crisp!
Shut up, Trish.
Can I get you anything?
What do we have in the fruit department?
Hey.
Pineapple? Ooh, that's a dangerous fruit. It's like a weapon, that thing. Got spikes on the end. Get killed from one of them.
Anyway, let me tell you why I called. When I took over here last month, I reviewed what was in development. It was pretty much same old, same old.
Been there, done that.
Right. I was looking for something different. Something that would have people talking at the water coolers.
Water coolers?
We call it a water cooler show.
Because the next day in the offices, people gather around the water coolers to talk about it, right?
Huh. See, I would think people would talk about it at the coffee machines.
Well, it's probably just easier to say water cooler show than coffee machine show.
Well, it's really not accurate. Nobody drinks from a water cooler anymore. They use bottles.
But I think Mr. Kimbrough makes a good point.
Anyway, Stu here started telling me about a show, Jerry, that he developed 5 years ago.
I have always loved it.
He said it was a show about nothing. So, I saw the pilot, and I've got to tell you, I flipped out.
He totally flipped out.
What I want to do is put it on the air. 13-episode commitment. Started off on Wednesday night, build an audience. This show needs time to grow. I love that Kramer guy. He's a little off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Kramer.
And Elaine. I'm not seeing something happening between you two.
Definitely.
I tell you, I really don't think so-called relationship humor is what this show's all about.
Or we could not do the show all together. How about that?
Or we could get them together.
It's Elaine. Yeah, well, I'm calling from my home. Indoors. Well, I was just calling to see how your I'm sorry, I'm getting another call. Hang on just a second. Hello?
Hi, Elaine, it's me.
Jerry, I'm on the other line.
No, no, this is an emergency. Get off the phone.
I'm sorry, Jill. I'm going to have to take this call. Jerry, what's the emergency?
Jerry's back on the TV show. George and I are moving to California.
That's the emergency?
Did you hear what I said?
I was on the other line talking to Jill.
Jill? Well, why didn't you say so?
You said it was an emergency.
So now she's lost a phone face-off? That's even worse than your cell phone walk-and-talk.
Congratulations, they're doing the show.
They should have put that show on 5 years ago. Bunch of idiots at that network. Can I tell you something, Jerry? It's all crap on TV. The only thing I watch is Xena, the warrior princess. She must be about 6'6".
She's not 6'6".
Jerry, you ever watch that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They picked show?
I'm moving to California.
Oh, baby doll, this kid's gone places, I told you.
The NBC guy liked it?
Of course he liked it.
He told you he liked it?
He wouldn't put it on if he didn't like it.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm writing.
You know how to write.
Without the writing, you have nothing. You're the ones that make them look good.
Since when do you know how to write? I never saw you write anything. I don't know how you're going to write all those shows. And where are you going to get all the ideas?
Would you leave him alone? You'll shatter his confidence.
I don't need any ideas. It's a show about nothing.
Nothing, please. I'll tell you the truth. The whole thing sounds pretty stupid to me.
NBC is letting me use their private jet? And I can go anywhere I want? It's fantastic. Thanks. Yeah. Great. Okay, bye. Hey, how was the beach?
Oh, you missed it, buddy. A lot of femeninas. Some major femeninas.
Had a little meeting today at NBC. What are you doing?
You know, I went swimming. I can't get this water out of my ear.
So do you remember 5 years ago we did that pilot, Jerry? Well, the new guy at NBC wants to do it. They're putting it on the air. They're giving us a 13-episode commitment. George and I are moving to California.
You're moving to California?
Yeah, I'm only for a while.
Yeah, but Jerry, what happens if the show's a hit? You could be out there for years. You might never come back.
No, I'll be back.
Jerry, it's L.A. Nobody leaves. She's a seductress. She's a siren. She's a virgin. She's a whore.
And my agent said, as a bonus, I can use their private jet. So we'll all go somewhere, the four of us. One big flame before George and I go to California.
So we can go anywhere we want?
Anywhere.
Why are they doing this?
I think they want to make it up to us because they let this thing sit on their shelf for 5 years.
This is all very exciting.
So, where are we going?
Well, I say Japan.
Why Japan?
Oh, geishas. They cater to every whim. They're shy at first, but they're quite skilled at conversation. They can discuss anything from world affairs to the fine art of fishing. Or baking.
Oh, I got it. How about Russia?
Oh, Russia. It's so bleak.
It's not bleak. It's springtime.
It's still bleak.
You can't be bleak in spring.
You can be bleak in spring.
If you're bleak, you're bleak.
What about Switzerland?
Ooh, Switzerland. Ooh, the Von Trapp family, huh?
It's a bit hilly. No?
You're not going to do any walking.
But if I want to walk around a little?
So then you'll walk down the hill and we'll pick you up.
What if I'm at the bottom?
All right, you know what? Just forget
it. All right, come on. Come on now, people. Let's face it, we're not all going to agree on anything. Why don't we just all go to Paris?
I'll go to Paris.
Me too.
Ooh, yeah, oui, oui.
Ça va, c'est... C'est que voulez-vous?
So that's it. It's settled. We're going to Paris.
Hey, NBC limo is downstairs. Beep, beep, beep. I'm just going to call Jill one more time before we go.
Hey, well, you can't make a call like that on your way out. You can't rush that conversation.
Well, I can't call from the limo. Can I call from the plane?
First you make a cell phone walk and talk, then she loses a call waiting face off. Now you're talking about a plane call?
All right, I'll just have to call her from Paris.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Newman. What gifts?
I was speaking earlier with Kramer, and he mentioned something about a private jet to Paris.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I hear it's quite beautiful there this time of year, and of course you know I'm one quarter French.
Really?
Oh, yes. In fact, I still have family there. This probably won't interest you, but I have a cousin there who's suffering very badly. She's lost all use of her muscles. She can only communicate by blinking. I would so love to see her, bring a ray of sunshine into her tragic life. But alas, I can't afford it, for I am, as you know, but a simple postal worker.
That's it.
Take me! Take me!
Oh, forget it! Pull yourself together! You're making me sick! Be a man!
All right! But hear me and hear me well. The day will come. Oh, yes. Mark my words, Seinfeld. Your day of reckoning is coming, when an evil wind will blow through your little play world and wipe that smug smile off your face. And I'll be there in all my glory, watching, watching as it all comes crumbling down.
Jerry?
Yeah?
I'm Captain Maddox. This is my co-pilot, Kurt Adams. Ready to go to Paris?
All set. We'll just grab the bag.
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll take care of him for you.
Just keeps on getting better and better. Woo! Huh? Not bad.
Wow.
The only way to fly.
This is it?
I'm sorry. I have to say I'm a little disappointed. I thought it would be a lot nicer.
You're complaining about a private jet?
You think this is the plane that Ted Danson gets?
Ted Danson is not even on the network anymore.
Still, I bet when they gave him a plane, it was a lot nicer than this
one. Will you shut up? You are ruining the whole trip.
This is a real piece of junk. I don't even feel safe on this thing. I have a good mind to write a letter to Mr. Kimball.
You're not writing any letters.
Will you turn around?
What?
You are annoying me sitting like that. It's effeminate.
It's effeminate to sit like this?
Yes. I think it's a little effeminate.
How is this effeminate?
I don't know. It just is.
What are you doing? Still got water in your ear.
I can't get rid of it. Maybe it leaked inside my brain.
Kermit, would you stop that? It's not safe to be jumping up and down on a plane.
I've got to get it out. I can't take this anymore.
Kermit, don't be fooling around up here!
Kermit! Hey, get the hell out of here.
What is that?
Oh, my God.
What is that noise? What is that noise?
Kermit, what the hell did you do?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What's going on? Oh, oh.
Sorry about that little mishap. But once you get everything checked out, shouldn't be any more problems.
Where are we?
Latham, Massachusetts. Hey, why don't you take a cab into town, get yourself something to eat? I got your beeper number. I'll beep you as soon as we're ready.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see you later.
Do about Paris? I mean, are we actually going to get back on this plane?
I say we go back to New York and take a regular flight.
Okay.
I'm not getting on a regular plane now.
I'm all psyched up to go on a private jet. No way I'm getting on a regular plane.
Well, I'm sure that they would fly us first class.
First class doesn't make it anymore. Now, you get on the phone with Kimbrough, tell him what happened, and tell him to get another plane down here. But this time, the good one, the Ted Danson plane.
All right, I'll feel him out.
Yeah, just tell him to hurry it up.
Nice day.
Another one.
All right, Bethel, out of the car.
I'm going to capture this.
Come on! Give me your wallet. Don't you?
Well, there goes the money for the lipo.
See, the great thing about robbing a fat guy is it's an easy getaway, you know? They can't really chase you.
It's actually doing him a favor. It's less money for him to buy food. Here's your wallet. Come on! Come on, come on!
That's a shame. All right, I'm going to call NBC.
Officer! He's stealing my car!
Officer, I was carjacked. I was held up at gunpoint. He took my wallet, everything.
Okay, thanks anyway. They can't get another plane.
All right, what's wrong with the plane we got? They're just checking it out.
No. They're not getting on there. Come on, let's get something to eat here in Sticksville.
All right. Hold it right there.
What?
You're under arrest.
Under arrest? What for?
Article 223-7 of the Latham County Penal Code.
What? No, we didn't do anything.
That's exactly right. The law requires you to help or assist anyone in danger as long as it's reasonable to do so.
I never heard of that.
It's new. It's called the Good Samaritan Law. Let's go.
Good Samaritan Law?
Are you crazy?
Why would we want to help somebody?
I know.
That's what nuns and Red Cross workers are for.
The Samaritans are an ancient tribe. Very helpful to people.
All right. Excuse me. Hi. Could you tell me what kind of law this is?
Well, they just passed it last year.
Oh.
And it's modeled after the French law. I heard about it after Princess Diana was killed and all those photographers were just standing around.
Oh, yeah.
You're the first ones to be arrested on it. Probably in the whole country.
Huh.
All right, so what's the penalty here? Let's pay the fine or something and get the hell out of here.
Well, it's not that easy. See, now the law calls for a maximum fine of $85,000 and as much as 5 years in prison.
What?
Oh, no. We have to be in California next week when we're starting a TV show.
California? Oh, gosh, I don't think so. You know, my guess is you're going to be prosecuted. Better get yourselves a good lawyer.
Who told you to put the cheese on? Did I tell you to put the cheese on? I didn't tell you to put the cheese on. You people with the cheese. It never ends. Hello? Good Samaritan law. I never heard of it. You don't have to help anybody. That's what this country's all about. That's deplorable, unfathomable, improbable. Hold on. Susie, cancel my appointment with Dr. Bison and pack a bag for me. I want to get to Latham, Massachusetts right away.
So they got Jackie Childs, huh?
Mm-hmm. You know what that means. This whole place is going to be swarming with media by the time this thing is over. You're not going to be able to find a hotel room in this town. The whole country is going to be watching this. Now, we got to do whatever it takes to win it, no matter what the cost. You know, the big issue in this trial is going to be character. I want you to find out everything you can about these people. And I mean everything.
That's pretty good, Sam, huh?
Would it kill him to check up on us?
No, drops off the meals and that's it.
I realize we're prisoners, but we're still entitled to ketchup!
I guess we could have called for help.
But then we would have missed the whole thing.
No. I still had it on video. We could have watched it later.
Yeah, he's right.
I forgot about the video.
For sure. Video. What is that?
Plane's ready.
Hi, everybody. I'm Geraldo Rivera. Tonight, we'll be talking about what most of you have probably been discussing in your homes and around the water coolers in your offices. I am speaking, of course, of the controversial Good Samaritan trial that gets underway Thursday in Latham, Massachusetts. Now, before we meet our distinguished panel, let's go to Latham Live, where Jane Wells is standing by. Jane.
Yes, good evening, Geraldo.
What's the mood? What's going on tonight?
Well, Latham is fairly quiet tonight, considering the media circus that has descended upon this quaint little town.
And what about the defendants, the so-called New York Four? How are they holding up?
Well, I did speak with one of the deputies who has some contact with them, and he told me, quote, there's no love lost with that group.
Anything else, Jane?
There also seems to be some friction between Mr. Seinfeld and Ms. Bennett. The rumor is that they once dated, and it's possible that ended badly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, who knows, maybe this trial will bring them closer together. Maybe they'll even end up getting married.
I hope you packed enough. This trial could last for weeks.
What's all that?
Cereal.
You're packing cereal?
I'm bringing it for Jerry.
You got enough here for a life sentence?
He likes it. He says he misses that more than anything.
So bring a snack pack.
Oh, Georgie, was it our fault this happened to him? Did we do something wrong? Maybe it was our fault.
Maybe it was your fault. It wasn't my fault, I can tell you that.
Oh, so it was my fault, but not yours.
You were the one who smothered him.
I did not smother him.
You smothered. He couldn't get any air. He couldn't breathe. He was suffocating.
Sure, and you were always in Korea with your religious tchotchke.
I had to make a living.
That's all. Don't worry, I didn't use too much milk because I know we got to make it last.
You know, I've had to reduce my milk level. My whole life, I've always filled to at least 3/4, sometimes the top of the cereal. Now to conserve, I can't even see the milk anymore. It's a big adjustment.
Not bad.
It's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Is everybody ready? Didn't I tell you I wanted you to wear the cardigan?
Makes me look older.
Look older? You think this is a game? Don't you think this is? I'm trying to give you a moral compass. You have no moral compass. You're going to walk into that courtroom, and the jury's going to see a mean, nasty, evil George Costanza. I want him to see Perry Como. No one's going to convict Perry Como. Perry Como helps out a fat tub who's getting robbed. You think it's funny?
No.
You damn right it isn't. You better not be carrying on laughing in that courtroom, funny man. Because if you start getting all smart-alecky, making wisecrack, acting a fool, you're going to find yourself in here for a long, long time. I don't like that tie. Susan, get one of my ties from my briefcase.
How do I look, Jackie?
Oh, you looking good. You look strong. You one fine-looking, sexy lady.
Thank you, Jackie.
Love you, Jackie.
Grandma, you always look good. You got respect for yourself. You're genuine. The jury's going to pick up on that. Here.
This one?
That's right.
Do I have to?
Jackie says put it on, Jerry.
All rise. Fourth District County Court, Latham, Massachusetts is now in session. The Honorable Judge Arthur Vandelay presiding.
Vandelay? The judge's name is Vandelay?
Vander who?
Jerry Janet? Yeah. I think that's a good sign.
Is the district attorney ready to proceed?
We are, Your Honor.
Mr. Hoyt.
Ladies and gentlemen, last year, our city council, by a vote of 12-2, passed a Good Samaritan law. Now, essentially, we made it a crime to ignore a fellow human being in trouble. Now, this group, from New York not only ignored, but as we will prove, they actually mocked the victim as he was being robbed at gunpoint. I can guarantee you one other thing, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the first time they have behaved in this manner. On the contrary, they have quite a record of mocking and maligning. This is a history of selfishness, self-absorption, immaturity, and greed. And you will see how everyone who has come into contact with these four individuals has been abused, wronged, deceived, and betrayed. This time, they have gone too far. This time, they are going to be held accountable. This time, they are the ones who will pay.
Mr. Childs?
I am shocked and chagrined. Mortified and stupefied. This trial is outrageous. It is a waste of the taxpayers' time and money. It is a travesty of justice that these four people have been incarcerated while the real perpetrator is walking around laughing. Lying and laughing. Laughing and lying.
Do you know what these four people were?
They were innocent bystanders. Now, you just think about that term. Innocent bystanders. Because that's exactly what they were. We know they were bystanders. Nobody's disputing that. So how can a bystander be guilty? No such thing. Have you ever heard of a guilty bystander? No, because you cannot be a bystander and be guilty. Bystanders are by definition innocent. That is the nature of bystanding. But no, they want to change nature here. They want to create a whole new animal, the guilty bystander. But don't you let them do it. Only you can stop them.
Is the prosecution ready to present its first witness?
We are, Your Honor. Call Officer Matt Vogel to the stand.
Call Matt Vogel.
So they were just standing there?
Yes.
Did one of them have a video camera?
Yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, we would like to play back that video and enter it into evidence as Exhibit A.
Proceed.
Come on!
There goes the money for the lipo.
See, the great thing about robbing a fat guy is it's an easy getaway. They can't really chase you.
It's actually doing him a favor. Less money for him to buy food.
So they just stood there and did nothing?
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing.
No further questions.
Hey! Great plane! Thanks a lot!
It's a junk.
You know, you almost got us killed!
Call Mabel Choate to the stand.
Call Mabel Choate. Your Honor, I most strenuously and vigorously object to this witness. She was not present at the time of the incident. Her testimony is irrelevant, irrational, and inconsequential.
The prosecution has gone to great lengths and considerable cost to find these character witnesses. It is imperative that we establish this is not merely an isolated incident. It's part of a pattern of antisocial behavior that's been going on for years.
Objection overruled. I'll hear the witness.
Now, Mrs. Choate, would you please tell the court what happened the evening of January 4th?
Well, I was in Snitzer's bakery when I got accosted by that man.
Let the record show that she's pointing at Mr. Seinfeld. What did he want?
My marble rye.
Your marble rye?
I got the last one. He kept persisting, and I said no.
And then you left the bakery.
That's right.
But it didn't end there, did it, Mrs. Choate?
Oh, no.
Stop it. What's
the fly, lady?
Help! Someone help!
Shut up, you old pig!
No further questions. I'll call Marla Penny to the stand.
Call Marla Penny.
What was your connection to the defendants?
I dated Mr. Seinfeld for several weeks in the autumn of 1992.
Then on the evening of October 28th, there was an abrupt end to that relationship. Tell us what happened.
It's rather difficult to talk about.
It's all right. Take your time.
Well, I became aware of a...
A what?
A,
Yes?
A contest.
Contest?
Yes.
What was the nature of the contest?
Oh, please, I can't.
It's okay.
The four of them made a wager to see if they could...
Yes?
To see who could go the longest without gratifying themselves. It was horrible, horrible.
Call Donald Sanger to this fan.
Who the hell is that?
Come on, Donald, you're doing fine.
The bubble boy.
Bubble boy? That's right, the bubble boy.
What's a bubble boy?
He's a boy who lives in a bubble.
What the hell are you all looking at?
So, Donald, would you please tell the court about the incident that occurred in your house October 7th, 1992?
Well, Jerry Seinfeld was supposed to come to my house, but his friend Costanza showed up instead. So I challenged him to a game of Trivial Pursuit.
Who invaded Spain in the 8th century?
That's a joke. The Moors.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. It's the Moops. The correct answer is the Moops.
Moops? Let me see that. That's not Moops, you jerk. It's Moors. It's a misprint.
I'm sorry, the card says Moops.
It doesn't matter. It's Moors. There's no Moops.
It's Moops.
Moors.
Moops.
Help, someone. There's no Moops, you idiot.
Stop it, let go of him.
Donald, stop it. No, stop it.
Was Mopes.
Mopes!
So Mr. Costanza parked in a handicapped spot, and as a result, you got in an accident, and your wheelchair was destroyed?
That's right.
And then Mr. Kramer gave you a used wheelchair.
That's right.
So you were the doctor on duty the night Susan Ross died.
Yes, that's right. It was May 16th, 1996. I'll never forget it.
So you broke the news to Mr. Costanza. Could you tell the court, please, what his reaction was?
I would describe it as restrained jubilation.
Murderer!
He killed our daughter! He knew those abhorrent were toxic!
Put her in this court!
Call Sidra Holland to the stand.
Ooh. Look at this one. She's fine. She's a 12. You dated her?
So you met Jerry Seinfeld in a health club sometime in 1993?
Yes.
And you also met Miss Bennett in that same health club?
Yes, that's true.
Would you describe the circumstances of that meeting?
We were in the sauna, making chit-chat.
You know, I've seen you around the club. My name's Sidra. This is Marcy.
Oh, hi. I'm Elaine.
Hi.
So she pretended to trip and she fell into your breasts.
Yes.
Why would she do something like that?
Because he sent her in there to find out if they were real.
State your name.
Bookman. Joe Bookman.
And what's your occupation?
I'm a library cop.
What's a library cop do?
We chase down library delinquents.
Anyone in this room ever delinquent?
Yeah, he was, right over there. Seinfeld.
How long was his book overdue?
25 years. Oh. We don't call them delinquent after that long.
What do you call them?
Criminals.
So you and Mr. Costanza were dating?
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, I invited him to attend my son's birthday party, and...
Fire!
At the time, I was employed as a security guard in the parking garage at the Garden Valley Shopping Mall.
Why would I do it unless I was in mortal danger? I know it's against the law.
I don't know.
Because I could get uromycetosis poisoning and die. That's why.
Uromycetosis. I wonder if they're having any trouble controlling themselves during this trial.
Perhaps these two hooligans would like to have a pee party right here in the courtroom.
Objection, Your Honor. This is completely inappropriate. My client's medical condition is not on trial here.
May I refer you to the Disability Act of 1990?
Sit down.
All right, Detective, then what happened?
We got a tip that a lot of prostitutes had been turning tricks in the parking lot.
You just cost me some money.
Cool it, lady.
Police officers, freeze right there.
So Cosmo Kramer was, in fact, a pimp. So you asked Mr. Seinfeld if he would wear your puffy shirt on the Today Show.
Excuse me, Your Honor. But what is the point of this testimony? This woman's a low talker. I can't hear a word she's saying. So either get some other kind of microphone up there, or let's move on.
Call George Steinbrenner to the stand.
Call George Steinbrenner.
So George Costanza came to work for you in May of 1994?
Yes, that's right. He was a good kid, a lovely boy. Shared his cousin with me. That was a heck of a sandwich, wasn't it, George? I...
Yes, sir. That was a good sandwich, sir.
And one little problem, though.
What was that?
He was a communist. Big as they come. Like a big, juicy steak.
How could you give $12 million to Hideki Arabo?
Order!
Cockfighting?
Cockfighting.
Sponges. And I don't mean the kind you clean your tub with. They're for sex. She said she needed a whole case of them.
She exposed her nipple.
How did she try to kill you?
She tried to smother me with a pillow.
Call Yev Kassem to the stand.
Call Yev Kassem.
Who?
Soup Nazi. Soup Nazi? You people have a little pet name for everybody.
State your name.
Yev Kassem.
Could you spell that, please?
No. Next question.
How do you know the defendants?
They used to come to my restaurant.
Medium turkey chili. Medium crab bisque. I didn't get any bread.
Just forget it, let it go.
Excuse me, I think you forgot my bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3! What? Nothing for you. But the idiot clowns did not know how to order. I banned that one, the woman, for a year. Then one day, she came back.
5 cups chopped porcini mushrooms, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 3 pounds celery.
That's my recipe for wild mushroom.
You're through, soup Nazi. Pack it up. No more soup for you. Next!
Published my recipes. I had to close the store and move to Argentina. She ruined my business.
This soup's not all that good anyway.
What did you say?
The state calls Mr. Babu Bhatt to the stand.
I thought he was deported.
You've come a long way to be here today, haven't you?
Yes. All the way from Pakistan.
And what's your connection to the defendant?
I owned a restaurant. Sinfeld told me to change the menu to Pakistani. But nobody came. There were no people.
And then what happened?
Then he got me an apartment in his building. But they mixed up the mail. And I never got my immigration renewal papers. So they deported me. It's all his fault. Him and the woman. But they did not care. They're totally indifferent. All they do is mock me, just like they did the fat fellow. All the time. Mocking. All the time. Now, it is Babu's turn to mock. Finally, I will have some justice. Send them away. Send them all away. Lock them up forever. They're not human. They're very bad. Very, very, very bad.
Hi, everybody. I'm Harold Rivera, and welcome to this special edition of Rivera Live. Well, arguments in the Good Samaritan trial ended today. The jury has been in deliberation for 4.5 hours now. Let's go live to Jane Wells, who is in Latham, Massachusetts, covering this trial for us. Jane.
Geraldo, just a few minutes ago, the jury asked to see the videotape.
That's the one where they are overheard making sarcastic remarks during the robbery.
Yes, it's a very incriminating piece of evidence. But I must tell you, Geraldo, this courtroom and everyone who's attended this trial is still reeling from the endless parade of witnesses who've come forth so enthusiastically to testify against these four seemingly ordinary people. One even had the feeling that if Judge Vandalay didn't finally put a stop to it, it could have gone on for months.
Jane, whose testimony do you think resonated most strongly with this jury?
That is so hard to say. Certainly there's the doctor with the poison invitations. The bubble boy was an extremely sympathetic and tragic figure. And that bizarre contest certainly didn't sit well with the small-town jury. There's the woman they sold the defective wheelchair to, the deported Pakistani restaurateur. Geraldo, it just went on and on and on into the night.
And so we wait.
Do they make you wear uniforms in prison?
I think so.
It's not that bright orange one, is it?
I hope it's not that one, because I cannot wear orange.
Will you stop worrying? Jackie's going to get us off. He never loses. How about when he asked that cop if a black man had ever been to his house? Did you see the look on his face?
Sorry to bother you, Judge.
How did you get in here?
Please. If he's found guilty, please be kind to him. He's a good boy.
This is highly irregular.
Well, maybe there's something I can do for you.
What do you mean?
You know.
You got plenty of time, too. This jury could be out for days. Hello?
Damn.
They're ready.
What was it you were about to say to me on the plane when it was going down?
I've always loved you, United Airlines.
smiled at me.
Maybe because she knows you're going to jail.
All rise.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Will the defendants please rise? And how do you find with respect to the charge of criminal indifference?
We find the defendants guilty.
Order! Order in this court! I will clear this room! I do not know how or under what circumstances the four of you found each other. But your callous indifference and utter disregard for everything that is good and decent has rocked the very foundation upon which our society is built. I can think of nothing more fitting than for the four of you to spend a year removed from society so that you can contemplate the manner in which you have conducted yourselves. I know I will. This court is adjourned. You had to hop. You had to hop on the plane!
Buddy, don't wait for me.
Hurry.
We gotta get out of here. We wanna beat the traffic.
Come on, Jackie. Let's go.
What?
Oh, and by the way, they're real and they're spectacular.
Well, it's only a year. That's not so bad. We'll be out in a year. And then we'll be back.
Could be fun. Don't have to worry about your meals or what you're going to do Saturday night. So they do shows.
Yeah, we could put on a show. Maybe Bye Bye Birdie or My Fair Lady. Yeah, Elaine. You could be Liza Doolittle.
Ooh. Why don't you just blow it out your Jill from prison. You think that would make up for the other ones?
Sure.
Because you only get one call. The prison call is like the king of calls.
I think that would be a very nice gesture.
Uh-oh. I got it. It's out.
Then, huh?
Oh, boy, what a relief.
See, now, to me, that button is in the worst possible spot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The second button is the key button. It literally makes or breaks the shirt. Look at it. It's too high. It's in no man's land.
Haven't we had this conversation before?
You think?
I think we have.
Yeah, maybe we have. So what is the deal with the yard? I mean, when I was a kid, my mother wanted me to play in the yard. But, of course, she didn't have to worry about my next-door neighbor, Tommy, sticking a shiv in my thigh. And what's with the lockdown? Why do we have to be locked in ourselves? Are we that bad that we have to be sent to prison? In prison?
You would think the weightlifting and the sodomy is enough. So, anyone from Cell Block D?
I am.
I'll talk slower. I'm kidding. I love Cell Block D. My friend George is in Cell Block D. What are you in for, sir?
Murder One.
Murder One? Ooh, watch out, everybody. Better be nice to you. I'm only kidding, sir. Lighten up. How about you? What are you in for?
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto? Don't steal any of my jokes.
You suck. I'm going to cut you.
Hey, I'll come down to where you work and knock the license plate out of your hand.
All right, well, that's it. Let's go. Come on.
All right. Hey, you've been great. See you in the cafeteria.